That went well. Glancing over my shoulder, I saw my faithful companion sitting in the passenger seat of my unit, his dog breath fogging the glass. I walked to the car and let the beast out, all 155 pounds of him. He stretched and then picked a lamppost to water, before looking up, rubbing his muzzle on my jeans. Think you'd have more luck than me? There was a loud noise, and we both looked in time to see a decrepit 64 Buick Wildcat, with a license plate 2RES4U, belching black smoke as it came around the corner of the building, with Jaya Long at the wheel. Not looking at either of us, she took the drive leading down the hill from the school, her arm trailing out the open window, and then turned left toward the town of Lame Deer, Montana. I looked down at Dog, who was sitting on my foot. Maybe not. I nudged him with said foot, but he refused to move. Come on, I'll take you into town, and we'll have lunch at the big store, but I have to talk to someone first. He stared at me. Ham! He got in the truck. There's a buffalo head in the main hall of Lame Deer Morning Stars High School, and black and turquoise banners printed with motivational sayings and plaques with photos of assorted teams, championship pennants, and standout individuals. There are three with Jaya Longbow Long hanging in the lobby, one with her sophomore year team, one with her junior year team, and a photo of just her with the ball on her hip and her head cocked sideways, the way it had been out in the parking lot only a few moments ago. There's also an article from the Billings Gazette with a photo of her powering past a hapless Hardin player and the headline, Jaya Goes Long. She looks like her aunt, the chief of the tribal police department, in this particular photo, but it's not photos of her I'm looking for. Working my way down the wall of time, I got to the point where the photos go from color to black and white. There's a team photo of the Montana State champions, and a familiar player, front and center, holding the ball. His smile is like an arc light, the shining eyes and the broad face conveying a confidence and goodwill that's undeniable. Lurking in the back row is another face I know very well. This one, a bit more somber, but the intensity of the eyes is there, too. The guy looks like he could crush your spleen. Smiling, I turned and walked toward the doors of the gymnasium. There's a silence to an empty basketball court, a church-like quiet that stills your breath. I stood there, near the gleaming wooden floor, and stared at the feathered dreamcatcher inlaid at its center as the sound of a ball bounced across the floor toward me. Stooping to pick it up, I glanced over the doorway at the far end of the bleachers, where I could see a tall man who looked a lot like the intimidating youth in a team photo, powerfully built, holding a leather jacket over one shoulder. You didn't play here. No, I played in the old linoleum floor gym across town. The middle school. Henry Standing Bear walked toward me. It was a junior high school back then. He glanced around. I do not think they have junior high schools anymore. I palmed the ball and nodded toward the line of photos out in the lobby. You only played your sophomore year here? The bear nodded, sweeping the dark hair from his face. Yes, before I moved down outside of Durant to live with my grandmother. Who was the scariest person I ever met? She used to embarrass me by pulling over and plucking quills from dead porcupines. He smiled. And she used to put evaporated milk in her coffee. I thought back. She made killer chicken dumplings. If it really was chicken. He took the ball from me, dropped his jacket, and turned toward the nearest basket about 40 feet away. $5? No way. He shot, the ball bouncing from the rim to the top of the backboard and then against the wall and out of bounds. He should have bet. I followed him toward the locker rooms and the athletic director's office. Hey, are you intimating that we ate porcupine and dumplings? Tiger Scalp Kane was one of those indispensable individuals on the res, the man with the glue that held the volatile society together. A man who, in the empowering Cheyenne tradition, gave everything away, the one who never had any money in his pocket, having spent it on others. He was a conduit to his people, one of those unofficial chiefs like Henry. Whenever there was a tragedy on the res, Tiger was there, with a new pair of shoes, a casserole, or a pat on the back, always with his super-powered smile. How did it go? I stood looking at the whiteboard, attempting to make sense of the hieroglyphics of basketball plays. She said about four things. He sat at one of the tables strewn with athletic supplies. Hey, for Longbow, that's not bad.